And happy Mother's Day to all the mums. All the mums give us a wave. And any expectant mums give us a wave. Ooh, that's telling, isn't it? Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul started many of his epistles and letters like that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't we need his grace? Whether you're a mum or a dad, a single person or a person without children, we all need his grace. But there's grace for the call. No matter what your call, no matter what your season of life, there is grace for the call. And his power is made perfect in our weakness. You know that scripture, don't you? His power is made perfect in our weakness. And the thing is, we need to recognize our weakness, not try and hide it and be a superhero in our own strength, but kind of admit it and then call on the name of the Lord. And I've got a brilliant slide for you. As Pastor Judith shared last Sunday, the lifesaver waits for the person to kind of go limp and surrender before they can actually help them. And that really is similar to the way the Lord works. He waits for us to really run out of our own energy, our own kind of thrashing around and struggling and kicking and screaming before he can actually save us. And we need his help, don't we? But those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just say to the person next to you, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The thing is, we need to stop calling on other things. There's a lot of things that you and I can call on for salvation. A lot of people that we can call on to save us. And I just wanted to share a bit of testimony. Some of you know my mum is going through a second course of chemotherapy treatment. And I was up in Nottingham just a couple of weeks ago, and this treatment finishes at the end of May. And the Lord really convicted me just this last week that to some extent I have been trusting in the chemo to save her. In an effort, an attempt to kind of encourage her and encourage myself, I've kind of been saying, well, by the end of May, Mum, you're going to be well. By the end of May, you'll be all right. You'll be well. You'll be strong. You'll be this. You'll be that. You'll be the other. And in a sense, it's not a bad thing to say. But the Lord really showed me in my own heart anyway. I was kind of leaning and depending on the medicine rather than him. It's not that the medicine's wrong, but it's an issue of trust. Where is your faith? What are you depending on? And his question to me was, what are you trusting in for salvation? And my question, I'm just bouncing that back to you this morning. What are you trusting in for salvation? And as I was kind of thinking about that question, pondering on that question, the scripture came to me, Psalm 20, verse 7, which says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chemo, some trust in medicine, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. Some trust in money, some trust in their jobs, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God to be our provider. And so whatever your tests are at the moment, whether they're financial, relational, physical, God's question to us is the same. What are you trusting in for salvation? It's the same question really that he put to his disciples when he said to them, who do you say I am? Or who am I to you? And you know the story well. Peter has his eureka moment, his revelation. You are the Christ. In other words, you're the one fit to rule. You're the Christ, Son of the living God. His eyes were open to see that Jesus actually is his Savior. He saw who Jesus really was. And if you're born again this morning, to a certain extent that's happened to you. You've had light shine in your darkness to show you who Jesus really is, to show you that he is real, that he is a real Savior, that he works in amazing ways in our lives. But to continue in faith, you know, to continue really depending on him daily, we need daily revelation that he's our Savior. Today, you're my Savior. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. And as Christians, it's really easy, actually, for our trust to shift onto other things. I think half the time we don't even realize it. We've started to depend on other things, ourselves primarily, what we know, what we can do, other people, money, material things. And so we need this daily revelation, Jesus, you're my Savior. I'm putting my trust in you for X, Y, Z, the lot. You know, and we can honestly say then, but I will trust in the name of the Lord, my God. As a church, we are on an exciting journey, really. What the Lord is doing this year is something fresh amongst us in terms of an unfolding, a kind of, you know, the curtain being pulled back to see who Jesus really is. Things that we've known for years as theory really becoming reality. That he isn't distant, and he isn't intermittent, and he isn't unreliable. And if that has been your experience, I have to say to you, in the nicest possible way, the problem is not at God's end. The problem is your end and my end. You know, the issue mostly is our lack of surrender. We're still thrashing around like that man in the sea, you know, kicking, fighting to try and save ourselves, putting our faith in other things. But you know, the mercy of God, he doesn't condemn us. John 3 verse 17 says, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. Aren't you grateful? But that the world through him might be saved. And really, he is at work to draw us to himself, to draw you to himself, to reveal who he really is, the God who is willing and the God who is able, the God who is both love and power. Mighty to save. And one of the key scriptures the Lord keeps bringing us back to at the moment is the 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, which says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And he really wants us to get this. He really wants you to get this. It's God in us, him in us. If you're born again, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, he's in you by his Spirit. And he wants us to be more mindful of the God in us. Now, next slide. Hopefully you'll remember this diagram. That's a picture of you, by the way. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. Every human being on the planet is spirit, soul, and body. Three parts. But if you're born again, you actually have the Holy Spirit in your spirit. And when you look in the mirror, of course, you see your own face and your own body, but your body isn't you. I don't know if you've ever given that too much thought. Your body isn't you. You are spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. You are spirit. You have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. I just want you to say that to the person next to you. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Now, I don't want you to be spooked out by that. It's actually helpful to see yourself like that. It really, having that understanding really helps you do the Christian life. But instead of being kind of body, soul, spirit minded, we need to reverse it and become spirit, soul, body-minded. Less body-conscious, in other words, more spirit-conscious. Because your spirit is the real you. Your spirit's the part that's going to live eternally, isn't it? And years ago, Pastor Judith and I had the privilege of going to Africa and working, all over, really. But we went to and spent a few days in this orphanage in Burundi. And it was not long after the genocide. And one of the little boys had recently died there. I think he was quite young, sort of 5-6 years old. And obviously all the children were really upset and they just couldn't understand, where's our friend gone? And Chrissy, who's the leader of the ministry there, sat them down and she gave what I thought was the most brilliant explanation. And she used a glove to explain what had happened to their friend. And she put the glove on. Well, she said to them, in honesty, I can't remember his name. I think his name might have been Arthur. And she said, she took her hand and she said, this is Arthur. And this was Arthur as we knew him. OK. Okay? That's the Arthur that we all saw. But Arthur's the hand, and his body's the glove. And what's happened is, he doesn't need his glove anymore. His body, it's lifeless, because Arthur's left it. And they're like, but where's Arthur gone? Arthur's gone to heaven. Because he trusted in Jesus, he believed in Jesus. And it was the most simple explanation. But that's just the body. It's kind of a lifeless thing without you in it. The real you goes. Isn't that powerful? I've never forgotten that. I just thought that was brilliant. Your body, well, the Apostle Paul calls it a tent. You know, it's a glove, it's a tent. Your body is your temporary home. You know, we need to take care of it and keep it fit and healthy, do the right things with it. But at the end of the day, it's just a tent or it's just a glove. One day we'll put it off because the real you will live for eternity. The real you can contact God. The real you can hear the voice of God and be led by him. But does that mean then that the Lord isn't interested in your soul and body? Of course not. Absolutely not. Of course he's interested. He loves your soul. We've been singing it this morning. Jesus is called the shepherd and overseer of your soul. He cares about the state of it. He cares if you're happy or sad. He cares if you're anxious or weighed down by things. King David's testimony in Psalm 23, do you remember? He said, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He cares for your soul. And of course, he cares for your body. He wants us to be healthy and strong in our soul and in our spirit. Jesus constantly demonstrated the heart of God, didn't he? He had compassion on sick bodies and wanted to heal them and did heal them. But his answer to all of us is to put his spirit in us. And his spirit gives life to our soul and to our body. And I know we know this is theory, but as Pastor Judith said last week, God really wants us to move from the theory of it into the reality of it so that it's not just words. It becomes your personal experience, your personal reality. And if I could identify the core of this message, it's that. God in your spirit, soul, and body. God in your whole being. He doesn't just want to live in your spirit. He actually wants to live in your soul and your body as well. We're called to be the dwelling place of God on earth. Ephesians, we're called to be the dwelling place on earth. And if you like, the Lord wants to extend out of your spirit into your soul and your body. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, we're epistles known and read by all men. People read our lives. They look at your life, they read your life. And so our soul needs to demonstrate him, compassionate, gracious, kind, healthy, stable and steady emotions. Your body healed, strong, healthy, so that we're demonstrating him. But even more than that, he wants to use your body and soul to reveal himself and to bring his kingdom really into the world. And I want to use the example this morning of praying for others. And if we could have the diagram back, that picture of you. God wants all of you to pray. Spirit, soul, and body. If we're honest, at times, just our body prays. Your heart isn't even engaged. It's just a kind of lip service. You're saying the right words. You're kind of praying mechanically because you feel you should. That's just your body praying. At other times, your soul gets involved because you feel compassion. You know, the prayer request we had this morning, I'm sure you, like I did, felt compassion for the people, and so you pray with some feeling and a kind of sense of urgency. Your heart gets engaged, so your body and your soul prays, but that's still not praying as we ought to pray. God actually wants us to pray from the Spirit, so the Spirit moves your emotions and your mind and your will, and your lips move, your body prays. Can you see the process? From the Spirit, through the soul, out of the body, so that you speak out words of faith and compassion. You use your body, you lay your hands on the sick. You know, if you think of it like this, God's goal is to get his power from you to another human being. I just kind of had this flash of a picture really the other day when I was thinking about laying hands on the sick, that in a sense my arms are like jump leads. It's getting the power of God from me transferred to jumpstart another human body or soul, you know. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, James said, and the Lord will raise him up. Just look at your hands, look at your arms, jump leads. Power of God is in you. You know, you just got to get them onto another person. Transfer the power. So Jesus prayed. Didn't always use his hands. Used in different, you know, he kind of used all sorts of techniques, didn't he? But my point is, he doesn't just want us to pray mechanically, not just your body, and not just your compassion and your, oh, you know, I'm feeling empathy and sympathy and, you know, all these kind of things. But faith-filled, heartfelt prayers that move him to respond. Praying, body, soul, and spirit. It's faith really working through love, as it says in Galatians. The two working together to release the power of God for miracles. God wants your heart. He wants you moved. He doesn't want us to be disengaged, cold-hearted when we pray. He wants us to be loving, to feel what he feels, to have his compassion. You know, he looked on the crowds, didn't he, and had compassion on them. It's allowing him to use your heart, use your mind, use your will to transfer God to another person. And, you know, there are instant answers. My miracle last weekend is testimony of that. Many of you, if not all of you, will have a testimony of an instant answer to prayer. And it's fantastic when that happens, isn't it? You just see, like the flash of lightning from heaven, the power of God. But what happens when the problems don't go away? What happens when we don't get the instant answers? Aren't we tempted to give up? Let's be honest, we're tempted to stop praying, really. We get discouraged and downhearted. But Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, men always ought to pray and not give up. Let's say that together. Men always ought to pray and not give up. And just in case you're in any quandary, it means women as well. Mankind, people always ought to pray and not give up. But I just want to talk a little bit about persevering prayer this morning. We speak and believe a lot. Mark 11, you know. Believe those things you ask for and you will have them. Pray, believe, you'll see what you're believing for. That is the goal of God. But at times we don't see the instant answers. And so there are times when we need to persevere. And it's not our long prayers that impress God or are needed. It's believing. The issue is believing. And there are times we need to persist because there are hindrances. Our own unbelief, our own doubts, or the enemy at work in some other way. And we actually don't have much of an idea of the powers of darkness we are praying against. But it says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And sometimes we need to lay hold of God and stay before him through the darkness of it, through the night of it, if you like, through the valley of it. There are times when you go through, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." But there are times when we need to grit our teeth and dig in, you know, till the faith of God starts to rise in your spirit. And you know you have the answer. Hebrews 11 tells us the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. There's a point in time. If you will persevere in prayer, get the word in, that faith starts to rise. And you know, you don't even know how you know, you just know, there's some light come on in my spirit here. I'm starting to believe God's at work. God's at work. And so we need to persevere until we get faith for the answer. We can't be passive about this. I've learned that. I'm sure you've learned that. If I kind of relax a little bit in terms of my prayer and my determination to get faith, it's like I go to jelly, you know. You kind of lose your backbone spiritually. We have to make it our goal to get faith. And I was praying the other week. I was doing the dishes, and it seems I often kind of do the dishes. I multitask. I was standing at the sink anyway. I was drying the dishes. And I said to the Lord, Lord, help me grow in faith. Thinking I was praying a really noble prayer. You know, he's going to be pleased with that one. Help me grow in faith. And straight away I heard back, it was like a boomerang reply. Help yourself. Help yourself grow in faith. And I thought, that is it. You know, I shouldn't be looking at him to do it for me. He's looking to me to grow my own faith. You know, it's like praying, Lord, help me get fit. His reply is, move your body. Get out, take the stairs, walk instead of taking the car. You know, there's certain things that God will not do for us. We have to do for ourselves. And growing in faith is one of them. Just say to the person next to you, help yourself. Help yourself. Help yourself to faith. It's not a mystery. This is the thing, it's not a mystery. And it isn't even difficult. We just have to sow the word. My gosh, we know that in this church. You hear it pretty much every week, you know. But it's not what you hear, is it? It's what you do. And Jesus gave the best example. I love his parable about the farmer. You know, it says, the farmer went out and scattered the seed, and he went to bed at night, and he got up in the morning, and somehow, and he didn't know how, the seeds had started to sprout and grow. And that's how it is with the word. We diligently sow the word, or should. And we read it, speak it, praying. And then you carry on the normal routines, don't you? Normal routines of life. You go to work, you pick up your kids. You go to sleep, you wake up in the morning, you have your breakfast. You know? And somehow, along the line, faith sprouts. And you're not even aware of it until a crisis hits. Or a challenge hits. And then you discover, oh my goodness, instead of caving, as I would have done 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, instead of kind of collapsing under the pressure of it, I've got a faith reserve in my spirit. I'm responding differently. Because there'll always be challenges, let's face it. This, that, or the other, there's always something challenging us. There'll always be a need for faith, and so we're wise to invest the word so that we have got an arsenal of faith to draw on. Yes. We need to increase our store of faith, church. Every single one of us, me included, absolutely. The Lord's told me, do it for yourself. You know, come on, do what you know to do. Believing prayer gets answers, but sometimes we need to persevere to come into faith. We have to make that decision to ignore the facts and ignore the symptoms and look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and dig in and commit to stay in prayer until we see it, the problem worked out. Be like Jacob, I will not let you go, Lord, until you bless me. I will not let you go until I see that problem worked out, until I see that symptom go. And I'm really learning, we're really learning how to persevere in prayer for my mum. Most days there's a health challenge, there's a draw on faith. But we're not going to let go of the promise of God until we see it fulfilled. We know healing is the will of God. And we know we have a right to his promises, but it's our job to pray until, to persevere in prayer until we see it with our own eyes. And you have to deal with discouragement, don't you? And you have to kind of deal with the tiredness that comes with a long battle. Just by going to Jesus, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. Our very present help in time of need. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, who remembers Daniel's story? Do you remember he fasted and prayed for 21 days? And on the 21st day, the angel came from heaven and spoke to him. And it says, Verses 11 and 12, Daniel, a man great, this is what the angel said to him, God's messenger, Daniel, a man greatly loved, from the first day your prayer was heard, 21 days, From the first day your prayer was heard, and I have come because of your words. Awesome. I love the fact it starts, Daniel, greatly beloved, greatly loved. Because actually, when there are time delays, the devil lies and says, God doesn't care. He's not listening. He's not even interested. But whatever your name is, you are greatly loved. When did the Lord hear him? The last time he prayed or the first time? Day one. From the first day, your prayer was heard. But on day one, okay, the Lord sent this angel in response. But there were powers of darkness. You can read about it in chapter 10. There were powers of darkness that held that angel up. But the Lord sent reinforcements. In Michael, the archangel, the reinforcement came. Men always ought to pray and not give up. And we don't see, unless the Lord reveals it, we don't see what's happening in the spirit realm. We don't see these powers of darkness visibly with our natural eyes. But our job is to get into faith and persevere until we see the victory. And the enemy wants us to be put off. He wants us to stop praying and kind of get discouraged. But we need to be prepared to pray until, to go the whole distance, to stand and keep on standing in the face of arguments, in the face of symptoms, in the face of negative feelings, tiredness, whatever the issue is. And in Ephesians, after talking about the powers of darkness, Ephesians 6, it goes on to say in verse, I think it's verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Having done all to stand, stand. It's time to stand, church. It's not time to sit down and give up ground. It's time to stand. Not in our own strength, but in the strength that only God gives. Stand against the enemy and his threats and his lies and put the armor on. Put on that breastplate of righteousness, that helmet of salvation. Pick up your shield of faith that puts out every fiery dart. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I just want to ask the question, who has a situation going on at the moment where you know you need to stand against the enemy? Maybe it's something physical, financial, relational. Okay, just an area of conflict. Can you stand? Those of you who raised your hand, just stand. Because we're going to pray together as a church. It goes on to say in verse 18, we're just going to read this together before we pray. So after telling us to put the armor on, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now these saints that you see standing, they need our prayers. So I'm going to ask those of you around them just to lay hands on them, stretch out your hand, and we're all going to pray. Just pray. Pray for the grace of God. Pray for the supply of the Holy Spirit. God's ability to persevere, to go the whole distance, strength for the journey. And mostly, I'm going to ask you to pray for faith. That the Lord will give them a gift of faith to deal with this situation. Let's pray, church.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are far superior to any power and principality. We just exalt Jesus in these situations. We pray, kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Thank you, Lord. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered like wax that melts before the flame. In Jesus' name, we put our faith in you, Lord. Our confidence is in you. You are our Savior, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this Ephesians 6, I want you to take this as the word of the Lord to you. Verses 10 to 13, it starts off, now be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because we do get tired, we can get discouraged, but the Lord says, come on, receive strength from me. And then put your armor on. Pick up things you might have put down. You can take your seats just for a minute. But mostly, I prayed this morning, and we prayed this morning, Lord, put some fight back in the church. There's things we need to not sit down about not talk about even anymore, but stand, taking up the armor that God has given us, that shield of faith and sword of the Spirit, and pray with faith in God as our Savior. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. Lord, here I am. Here's my time. Here's my heart. Move it. Here's my mind. Here's my will. You know, I'm making myself available to pray, to see your kingdom come in this situation, in that situation, over here and over there, wherever, you know. And I thank God for the instant miracles. We're seeing more of those as a church. Praise God. And that for sure is the will of God. However, Jesus taught on persevering prayer because he knew we needed to hear it. He knew there'd be stuff we'd need to persevere over. He knew there'd be conflicts. He knew there'd be challenges to our faith. And he says, come to me. In other words, to the Word. Let me speak into that situation. Let me show you things from my perspective so that you've got my word on it and you'll pray my word on it and see that resistance start to give, start to bow to the authority of the word. And we need to understand how God works. I've nearly finished, but just stay with me. He works. He doesn't want to work from the outside in. He wants to work from the inside out. He wants really us to partner with him to bring his will and power into situations. And there's a key, just a final key that I want to share with you. And it's in, basically he wants to convert our soul. I think there's a slide for that. We need our souls converting because there are times when we start to think discouraging thoughts and feel discouraging feelings, and it's quite easy at that point to go downhill quite rapidly. But God wants to increase our stamina to resist the resistance. And for that to happen, we have to be convinced of God with us and in us. He that is in us is greater. And so our souls need converting. There's actually a scripture in Psalm 19, verse 7, that says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Converting the soul. If something is converted, it's completely changed, isn't it? Yeah. David and I had a loft conversion a few years ago, and it was completely changed. There's no way I was going to sleep up there as it was. It was completely transformed. It became a completely different environment. The Word of God can do that to our souls. Our mind, will, and emotions, it can change how we think, how we feel, the way it looks, the way it sounds. It makes your soul a different environment to live in. Glory to God. I don't know of anything else that can do that permanently. You know, and it's, we got to keep the word working on us because we can kind of be changed and then dip back. Because there's a pressure coming at us from the world to conform to its pattern, but the pressure in us needs to be greater. Amen. So that we don't conform from the outside. We, you know, there's the power of God in us causes us to be strong in what we know God has said. And so then if the word has converted your soul, even if the problems persist and the symptoms persist, which at times they do, you have this inner knowing God is God. And his will be done. I've maybe not seen it today, but for sure, I will see it. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And as you keep holding up his word, it gives you strength to persevere. If you hold the word up, the word will hold you up. If you hold the word up, the word will hold you up. Okay, let's all stand. Really, there are two things that I believe the Lord wants to accomplish today. The first is the revelation of the whole person praying. Just this, the importance really of engaging with God and letting his spirit flow from your spirit into your soul and out of your body. And then the second is this encouragement to persevere in trials. I really believe that's the heart of God for us as a church this morning. The shepherd's voice to the sheep is, come on, stand. Persevere, having done all to stand, stand. Because of the word of the Lord, whatever the battle is, you need to know God has prepared you for it. He's already given you the tools that you need to overcome. That's why we can rejoice in trials. What a miracle, church, where You know, non-Christians collapse and give in and give way to other things to try and help them out. We know God in us. He's equipped us for what we need to not just kind of get through or tolerate, but to overcome. And so we need to stand in the midst of trials and declare the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Amen. All those things that you know to do, by doing them when you don't feel like doing, that's what enables you to stand. Declaring the goodness and the faithfulness of God in the face of a trial. And I want you to turn, if you've got a Bible, turn to Psalm 138. And we're going to pray this together. Psalm 138, we're going to pray verses 1 to 3. And it says here, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. You've magnified your word above all your name. And in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. So I want you to pray this morning, every one of us in this room. Tell him that you praise him. Tell him that you exalt him over every other god. Tell him that you will exalt his name above everything. And then just finish by asking him to make you bold with strength in your soul. Let's pray, church.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.